The critically acclaimed FX television series The Americans began its second season last Wednesday night. It's about two KGB agents, Elizabeth and Philip Jennings, who work under the guise of being a suburban American married couple during the 1980s, and they're played by Kerry Russell and Matthew Reese. And Noah Emmerich plays Stan Beeman, a counterintelligence FBI agent who just happens to be their next-door neighbor. Mr. Emmerich has received a lot of critical acclaim for his portrayal. In a rave review last Wednesday, the New York Times reviewer said, "Everyone in this layered show has cover stories, divided loyalties, mixed emotions, and hidden motives. The complexity of the character drives the narrative as much as the car chases and ultra-secret missions." I'm a big fan of the show, so I'm very pleased to welcome Noah Emmerich to our show. Hello.
Hi. Great to be here.
Although this is going to be a bit difficult because it's hard to avoid all of the spoilers that could come about during a conversation about the show, but I'll do my best.
Okay.
And I'm sure you think about that a lot. You know stuff that the rest of us who haven't seen more than the first show would know. One of the things that makes the show so fascinating is that although they are agents of history's bad guys, we can't help but root for Elizabeth and Philip. And your character's a threat to them.
Yeah.
So are you kind of like both a hero and also maybe the show's villain?
Well, I think it's interesting. That's one of the fun things about the show is who the heroes are and who the villains are isn't so clear-cut. We tend to root for the characters that we connect to, despite their political agenda or even the fact that, you know, Kerry and Matthew's characters are working to bring down the United States. That gets sort of a backseat position compared to our empathy and rooting for them inside their marriage and their relationships and their struggles as parents. And my character, you know, traditionally...
You can be a bit ruthless at times.
Yes, certainly.
Not that they aren't.
That's the thing is all the characters on the show have their darker sides and their brighter sides. You know, traditionally, of course, the FBI counterintelligence agent in an American television show would be the hero. And I think many people feel that way about my character for large chunks of the show. And then if I get too close to endangering Philip and Elizabeth, they start to root against me. And also, as well, they see my character take certain actions that are somewhat offensive or egregious or scary, and they start to think, well, I don't know if I trust Stan anymore.
Well, this is, of course, it's kind of like John le Carré's world where everybody has faults, has a dark side. As this new season kicks off, Stan's partner's been killed. His marriage is a mess. He's mixed up romantically with Nina, who works in the Soviet embassy, and after he recruited her, they became lovers, and she's kind of turned and become a double agent.
Yeah, unbeknownst to Stan.
Is he worse off than the Jennings, even though we know their story as Russian spies will end with the end of the Cold War, which is in the near-distant future?
Yeah, hopefully not too near, a few more years to go. But I do think of Stan as a very, you know, troubled and isolated character. They at least have each other in this spy game. Stan, as you mentioned, loses his partner in the beginning of the first season. He's newly transplanted to Washington, D.C., where he's sort of somewhat of a fish out of water. He's estranged from his wife and son. So he's very isolated and alone in his quest for justice and security.
And you said you've said that you didn't want them to give you too much of a backstory. Why?
Well, I appreciate that we touched upon a deep and dark backstory of my character in the first season, that he was working for 3 years undercover with a white supremacist group, and that seemed to have a lot of resonance with the audience. And I think it brought up a lot of questions in the audience's mind. What was this undercover job? Who were these white supremacists? What happened to Stan? Because clearly he's somewhat post-traumatic when we find him. And I think deflating that balloon of tension too quickly is a mistake. It's a very valuable flavor to have in a character. I just didn't want it, the backstory. I didn't want no backstory. I just didn't want it to be revealed too quickly. I feel like that's a valuable asset to have.
Well, actors often create their own backstories for themselves to be able to get a little deeper into a character. Have you done that?
I do quite a bit of that. I mean, you know, we get the scripts every week and their actions or scenes or pieces of dialogue that I think are helped out by a personal understanding of my own interpretation of my backstory. Sometimes I talk with the writers about what that backstory is in their minds, and sometimes there's actually a divergence of our two approaches to my character's backstories. But it does lend, hopefully, texture and some veracity to the human being that I'm trying to portray.
Well, for a long time, television was always portrayed as being more superficial than movies. You've appeared in a lot of films.
Yeah.
But something like this gives you a real opportunity to make your character more and more complex. Because
exactly.
You have how many shows in one season?
13.
So you have 13 already, and I don't know how many you've shot of the new season.
We're just in the middle of our 13th, actually.
So that's 26 hours of developing characters.
Yeah, it's one of the great opportunities that television affords actors like myself now is that, you know, in a film, oftentimes most of the energy and effort from the writer to the director to the production is around your central sort of hero character. And in the long format of television, there's a deeper bench that the audience and that the writers and everyone wants to explore. You need a deeper cast of characters to keep it, engaging and interesting. So often I've found that over the last, 10 years or so, the writing for actors is more rich and diverse and dynamic in television than the single role. How many movies do they make? How many characters in that film are that particularly interesting? Whereas in a show like ours, we have a great ensemble cast that all have, quite complex and interesting characters to fill.
And you also have one of the co-creators is Joe Weisberg, is that his name? And he was a former CIA agent, for a time. I heard him on Studio 360 with Kurt Anderson, and he said that at the center of his life when he worked as an agent was lying, that it was impossible to tell anyone the truth. And that is pretty much at the center of this. Nobody is telling anyone the truth, no matter how close they are.
It's true. I mean, it's one of the great explorations of the show is sort of the onions that we all are, the onions individually and the onions when you combine two of them, you really get a lot of layers of deception and misdirection. And it's hard to tell what any single character's agenda is at any given time.
Well, Philip and Elizabeth can't even tell their kids that they're KGB agents.
Right.
Their kids just think that they're travel agents.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's also the thing about the show, that it really is about those public selves, private selves, and secret selves that we all have to some degree. And the context, of course, is somewhat heightened by, obviously, the spy game. But it's a reality that we all struggle with in our lives, whether we're school teachers or spies or, at whatever the profession, we all have these different versions of ourself. And it explores those questions. How much do our children really know us? How much do we share with each other that's really authentic? And how much of it is hidden or manipulated?
Well, Stan lies to his wife even before he winds up in this affair with the woman from the Soviet embassy. I don't know if I should call her a KGB agent.
She is, in fact, a KGB agent, I believe. Mm-hmm.
But she comes across as a high-level secretary.
Yes.
And they kind of lie to each other initially, then get emotionally involved. But the lies continue because there's no other way they can conduct their business.
Yeah. And although they know that they're lying to each other, there is actual and authentic intimacy there, I think, both in the shared understanding that is happening. I think that's one of the things that actually draws Stan to his KGB mole in a way that even is different and hard to repeat with his wife.
But it's also a lot of manipulation in these relationships.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that people get what they want is through sex.
Yes.
There's a lot of sex, not explicit sex, not what you get on an HBO series. Maybe you would have wanted more of that if it was on HBO. But the point is well taken that people use sex to get other means.
Yeah. And I think that, again, it's heightened because of the context, but all of the dynamics that we explore on the show, I think, are to be found in our daily lives as non-spies. The power of sex, certainly, at the top of the list.
My guest is Noah Emmerich, who plays Stan Beeman in The Americans. The second season started last Wednesday. It's on FX at 10 p.m. I heard that at first you weren't interested in playing Stan. Why not?
You know, I had turned my sights towards doing a television series. This is the first one I've done. Although one of the sort of prerequisites I thought I had was that I didn't want to be a character who carried a badge or a gun. I have done a lot of law enforcement characters in my career, and I just thought the danger of tipping into a procedural type of story was not interesting to me. And so when I first read the script, I saw Stan Beeman, FBI agent, badge and gun, and I thought, this isn't for me. And my good friend Gavin O'Connor, who's a film director and the director of our pilot, the first episode of the show, called me and said, I don't understand why you're not interested in this show. And I said, you know, I don't want to carry a gun on TV for 5 years. And he said, I think you misread the script. I think you should really give it a closer look. It's not about guns.
Although you do use your gun a few times.
I do use it. And that's actually fine. I have no problem. I mean, you know, that's another conversation. But as long as I didn't want to be stuck, you know, going down alleys with flashlights, finding clues, and that was all I was doing. I wanted to explore character and relationships. And upon second reading, of course, I realized Gavin was right, and I had sort of missed the opportunity.
Well, how many scripts do you get to read at once? Years ago, I spoke to Fritz Weaver, who is a wonderful character actor, and he talked about being in some television show where he played an alien from outer space. And he said to the director, am I a good guy or a bad guy? And the director said, I don't know.
Right.
Why don't you ask Sam, who's doing the second show, the next show? So he goes to Sam, said, well, isn't made clear here. And Fritz said it actually led to a better performance because he didn't have in the back of his head that he wanted to make this character sympathetic or make him evil.
Right. There's a certain liberation that comes with it. It's almost an improvisational quality. You don't have all the pieces of the puzzle before you begin. And oftentimes the character evolves in unexpected directions during the course of even a season. Last year we
How far ahead do you know?
Well, I know the end of this season because we're filming it now. But, you know, generally you don't have more than a week or so advance copy of the script. So, you know, I compare it to sort of the difference between oil painting and sketch work. You know, a film, you have the entire story, of course, maybe months in advance, maybe years in advance. And you have a lot of time to sort of, both in preparation and in production, to sort of revisit the work, shade it, shape it very, very with a lot of exploration, a lot of time. And in television, you don't have that time. And there's something quite liberating and freeing about that.
Isn't it more like theater in some ways because you're expected to do it in one or two takes?
The difference is the theater, of course, you have all those months of preparation to learn all your lines and learn the ins and outs of your character and television. You know, but the difference is you also have years to continue with the character. So this is our second season of the show, and everyone knows their character a little bit more comfortably, and it fits sort of like a well-worn-in pair of jeans, and it's easier to sort of be free to improvise and go.
Oh, so you do a lot of improvisation here?
Well, I mean, internally improvise because, you know, for example, the script that I got when I first kissed Nina, I had no idea that Stan was about to have an affair, and it was quite shocking. That has almost an improvisational feel to it because I hadn't been playing the character previously as someone who was leaning towards the possibility of an affair. Mm-hmm. Those internal shifts come along unexpectedly, and you have to adapt quickly to fitting that into your interpretation of the character.
Well, how much rehearsing time do you have?
No rehearsal time. I mean,
you read the script, you go in there, you start shooting.
And you basically have maybe 10 to 15 minutes before they start filming to sort of run the scene, camera block, figure out the marks, and then you're off and running.
And where are you shooting this? Because at the end it says, we thank New York State.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be taking place in Washington and in Virginia, I guess also in Maryland, or
right,
the areas around Washington, D.C.
Yeah, we actually shoot in Brooklyn. We shoot right on the Gowanus Canal and an old soundstage there. It's one of the magical, both a credit to our director of photography, Richard Rakowski, who does sort of miraculous work finding the right shots to make Brooklyn look like Washington, D.C., and our locations people and our directors. And then, of course, some post-computer graphics generated to fill in some backgrounds. But it is amazing that we get away with it's entirely shot pretty much in Brooklyn. Sometimes we hit Manhattan or Queens or Long Island or Westchester, but generally our home is in Brooklyn.
And then you just have a couple of establishing shots that show us that we're in Washington, D.C.
Exactly.
And all of the cars have Virginia license plates.
Exactly.
Now, do you even think about what's going on when you're not shooting, you know, in the scenes that have nothing to do with you? Does that affect your performance when you find out what's going on with Philip and Elizabeth and now with the problems that their daughter Paige is causing for them?
It's interesting. I actually changed my approach between two seasons. Last year, I read every script sort of religiously and thoroughly and because I really wanted to understand the show. And this year, I felt a little more licensed to remove myself from the Philip Elizabeth storylines because my character wouldn't know those things.
No.
So I'm really just sort of trying to stay in Stan's point of view and not know too much.
One of the things that I responded to most was just how much this is about family. Philip and Elizabeth, especially with their children, I think it's a very realistic parent-child relationship, the sort that we all know, rather than the spy who has to compartmentalize, although they are compartmentalizing, but they're just good parents, actually.
Right.
And the kids are decent kids. They're real kids.
Yeah.
It's unlike a lot of other shows where the kids all seem to be totally troubled and causing a lot of trouble
right.
as well. In Homeland, the kids were a real mess.
Right.
But here they're just normal American kids.
Well, I think that speaks to the ambitions of the writers and the focus of the show, as opposed to being sort of a spy show where the kids cause problems. This is really a show about family where the spying causes problems. At its heart, it's a show about our human dynamics, relationships, how to be a parent, how to balance.
Noah, we have very little time, but you've been in a bunch of films: Beautiful Girls, Little Children, Super 8, Truman Show. Last year, you filmed the Gavin O'Connor Western Jane Got a Gun with Natalie Portman and Ewan McGregor. Comes out this August?
It comes out this August, I believe, yeah.
Is this like an old-fashioned Western?
It's an old-fashioned classic Western. It was great fun to shoot.
Did you bring any of Stan to your character?
No, I brought zero of Stan. It was great to be out of the suit and on a horse in the West.
Because I always wonder what it's like. You live with the character for, I don't know how long
six
the shooting
months.
Is. 6 months.
Yeah.
And then one day you're not that character anymore. It's not the same thing as doing a play and then going to dinner.
No, it's actually a great relief to let you. Stan, you know, is in quite a bit of pain. By the end of last season, I was ready for the Wild West.
Noah Emmerich plays Stan Beeman in The Americans. The second season started this past Wednesday. It's on FX on Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks for having me.